have your attention just for a minute. This is Brock Bonheim and this is Mark Ramsey, and they have come from Ramsey Funeral Home, family business, good Christian men, Christian family, and they provide a service that is everyone's going to need something. And it's an honorable thing they do, and to be able to do it from a spiritual perspective where not every funeral home is run by people who believe in the resurrection of the dead and that Christ is our Redeemer, Savior. So we're thankful to have that perspective tied in with this. This is our last class, and I'm going to turn it over to Brock. I think you're going to speak first, and if you've got anything to add, you just knock him out of the way. And jump
it's kind of the other way around, but
they're going to—he's going to present the options that you have for burial, and so you can, everything we've done in this class is looking forward, thinking about, trying to plan in advance for how we deal with all those stages leading up to our departure. And not everybody knows what to do. People who wait to the last moment, they're under a lot of stress, emotional, spiritual, psychological, and they're trying to make some of the most significant decisions they make in their lives. So, Brock's going to tell you, here's what you can expect if you choose this option, and here's what you can expect if you... Here's how the process works, because we don't need that unless you've been through. So, Brock, I'll turn it over to you. And
appreciate that.
The next service begins at 11:15.
Okay.
So people probably, some may need to wander out, get their kids, get ready to get over to the other service.
Okay.
I know you'll both be here to answer questions for a bit afterwards. So
so we need to shut up by about 10 till. Is that what you're saying?
No, right. Probably just right at 11
okay.
is good. People may start getting them wandering out.
Okay.
But others may hang behind to ask you more questions or to get the worship. So, Brock, it's all good.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you guys and ladies. I know that sometimes funerals can be kind of a downer, big time. It's a lot of hard decisions to make. So we kind of approach it from the side of hope with the resurrection, knowing that there's more to life than just this earthly life. And so as a young person being asked about how do you do funerals at such a young age, how do you deal with this? I say, well, Christ, that's how I deal with it. And being able to share Christ with other people in hard times is a part of our ministry and our business as well as a family-owned funeral home. I will let you know I do have the phone lines to the funeral home. So if my phone rings, being family-owned and operated, wear a lot of hats, either myself or my father-in-law will step out to answer that phone call. So we are, much like pastors, available all the time. Okay. So if you would, please just bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for these men and women who are here, Lord, to gain some education, some information, and to be better set for times in which we're called home. We know that the being present with you is glorious and what we all look forward to, Lord, but we will be here living on this earthly journey until you call us home. So just being prepared is a good thing to be. And Lord, we just thank you for your son, Jesus, who came and died for our sins, even though we were undeserving. It's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen. So quick, brief history. I don't know, Mark, if you want to give that of just our funeral home. And then we'll go over the facts about funerals. Each of you should have one of these little brochures. We're going to talk about some of the main facts that you need to know as a consumer of our industry. And then we'll go over the different options of disposition, and then we'll have Q&A, which is usually where a lot of people get good information from, because everybody has their own ideas and thoughts. So,
yeah, thank you. Thank y'all for having us. First of all, Pastor Jack, thank you so much for inviting us up here. I'm Mark Ramsey. My wife and I own Ramsey Funeral Home in Georgetown. This is my son-in-law, Brock. I'm 62, so one of these days I'm going to try to slow down here. One of these days. Plus, I'm a product of double knee replacement this past year. So, that those of y'all have had that good stuff. I know you said you stepped in a hole. I did too, except it was in a cemetery. And that's where I blew my first knee out. So, it kind of went downhill from there. So, hazards to our job. We do own Ramsey Funeral Home in Georgetown. We're not here to sell our business or sell anything. We're just here trying to answer some questions that y'all may have. Dying, unfortunately, is kind of a part of living. 93-year-old man and a 92-year-old woman walking hand in hand down the street, Main Street, USA. They go into a pharmacy. Said, I need to speak to a pharmacist. So he comes out, he's talking to him, says, couple asked him, said, we're fixing to get married. And so Flinger's out walking around enjoying the day. Said, do y'all sell an acid type products? Yeah, we do. Y'all sell walkers, canes, things like that? Yeah, we do. Sell porta potties, all this type of stuff? Yes, we do. They begin to ask all these questions, do you have these products? The pharmacist said, yeah, we have all that stuff. Why are you asking? And the older gentleman looked at it and said, well, this is my fiance. We're fixing to get married. I'm 93. She's 92. And said, we're looking at your pharmacy for a bridal registry. So, you never stop planning for the future. So, unfortunately, we're all kind of heading in one direction. And like Brock said, we just, through our faith in Christ, that death is not a bad thing. We all look at death in different aspects. And, if you're a believer in Christ, you know what the final outcome is. And we've had many people ask us along the way, what do I need to do to get prepared? I have an illness. What do I need to do to prepare myself? And the first thing we'll tell them, you need to get a relationship with Christ. If you don't have that relationship, that's where it needs to be. But we are family owned. We do everything. We make our own removals. We do not use answering services, as Brock was telling you. We do our own removals. We do our own embalming. We do our own cremations. We have cremation on site, which is a rising trend. And Jill, I thank you. Unfortunately, you lost your husband. And did a green burial. And I think, Jack, that's what you... the industry's kind of been promoting this as some type of a new type of a way of disposition, and honestly, it's not. I mean, Western days, they wrap them in a sheet, put them in the ground, it's really nothing new, but the industry, for some reason, has taken hold of it, and
we're going to be looking at this.
Categorized in a way that it's something special. Talk about cremation. People have a lot of different thoughts about cremation. What does the Bible say about it? There's nothing in the Bible that talks against cremation. Actually, dust, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So, your thoughts there. I'm not here to say one way or the other. All I know, you're absent from the body, you're present before the Lord if you're a Christian. We have a brochure that Brock handed out to you when you came in, facts about funerals. That gives a lot of information as to the legalities that we're held to as a funeral home. And those may raise some questions in your mind as to things that you want to ask us later. But y'all can look over that, and if you have some questions, we're more here to answer your questions than we are to sit here and give a big speech about what we do and what we don't do. It's an industry that, unfortunately, there's people within the industry that, bless you, that don't need to be in the industry, just to be perfectly honest with you. So you need to pick a funeral home, someone that you trust, someone that you can trust in to do that. And, and you get into price. You get into price wars. What do prices range on funerals? A lot of that depends. Corporate-owned funeral homes, tentatively, are going to be a lot more expensive because they have a structure that they have to dwindle down their cost. How much does a cremation cost? Well, it can range anywhere from, I've seen them as low as about $400 or $500 to $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 just for cremation. great cremation. So, depending on what you get into, there's a lot of these little, I term them as little cheap cremation places, online cremation places that are opened up. And basically, it's a phone call. You don't even see the people. You call them. You take care of everything on the phone. You pay them. They'll get somebody to go pick the body up. Have the body cremated. 2, 3, 4 weeks later, you may get the cremation back. Everything's done online. But with that being said, you get a lower cost. We do our own cremations in-house. Everything's done in-house. We identify the body once we have made the removal. We get them back. We have our own refrigeration unit. State of Texas requires that we have to keep that body under refrigeration for 48 hours before we cremate. The reason for that, if there's any type of an inquest. You know, you walk in, your husband passed away, they want to make sure you didn't hit him over the head with a frying pan. They had that 48-hour window to make those determinations. So we do have to hold the body for 48 hours. At that time, we have to get a permit out of the county that that person passed. So we're in Georgetown, someone passes away in Travis County. We have to get our permits out of Travis County, which takes a little bit longer. So it depends on the area that the person passes away. At this time, unless Brock, you've got something to say, I kind of want to just open it up for discussion. You have questions? Feel free. There's no stupid questions. We do it every day. You don't. So there's no stupid questions. Just ask away, and we'll be glad to, Brock, unless you got something you want to.
I was just going to point everybody's attention to this facts about funerals. We brought these. These are given by the state, Texas Funeral Service Commission, not by us. So you should receive one of these. If you go into any funeral home or mortuary company, they should give you one of these right off the bat with a price list. That is something, unfortunately, we have to talk about price almost immediately, which seems kind of terrible in our opinion, because there's a lot more to it than just the price. But we have to, by law, give you a price list. So you know when we're talking to you, we're not just making stuff up as we go, okay? So just a few things I want to highlight on this form here. And then we'll have that question answer time. Has all the funeral service information on the front. We're regulated by two agencies in the state for funerals. That's the Funeral Service Commission and the Federal Trade Commission. Okay. We have to have an itemized price list again. So, you know, we're not making stuff up as we go to keep fair trade and practices in line. Just opening it up, and I'm not going to insult each of you by reading this to you, but just want to highlight the high points here. On the left-hand side, it talks about what to do when a death occurs. That's one of the number one questions we get from people who are pre-planning, or if they have somebody who is on hospice, or if someone's at a hospital, they wonder, you know, what do we do? Do we call you first? Do we call the police? Do we call the hospital? What do we do? And so it kind of tells you what to do if it's an unattended passing, okay? And that is to call 911, because they're going to send out EMS and those that need to be sent out in hopes to bring that person back if they are gone or if they have a chance of being revived. And then it kind of gives you the order of what happens after that. Funeral homes involved. Of course, you could do home funerals where funeral homes don't have to be involved. That's there in the bold top left. However, you do have to have certain things done in order to be in legal standing with the death. Okay. Written directions for disposition. This is huge for you. Now, a lot of times pre-planning, people talk about what they want. I cannot tell you how many times somebody's come in and said, just put me out in a pine box and throw me in the pasture. And I say, well, that's all good, but I don't know if your spouse or, you know, the family want to do that for you. So you can have what you want, but remember, the funerals are for the living, right? Not for the ones who have gone ahead of us. So written dispositions, there's a form on the website, the Texas Funeral Service Commission website. It's a very simple form to fill out where you can put your wishes on that form. You can provide an agent of disposition if it's not your spouse or a child, if it's whoever you want it to be, but it appoints that individual to be in charge of disposition. Now, that is not executor or executrix of the estate. That is simply for rights of disposition. Who's in charge of the disposition of my remains when that time comes? You can also appoint a first successor and a second successor if some reason that person is no longer alive or they choose not to fill that role. Okay, it's a great thing to have in order. So if you have multiple children, or if it's a sudden passing, you have that in place so they know, okay, this person is in charge, and there's nothing anybody else can do or say about it. Okay, it's on their website. Yes.
And also, I'll add, Candace did our estate planning, and she includes that form.
Perfect. Yes, good.
It's a very popular form.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It really does save a lot of trouble.
And a lot of times when families come in, they have a lot of things they're thinking through. I always give them that form. Say, when you have made your mind up, write it down on this page. Because at that point, everybody, including ourselves, know exactly what your requests are and what they need to be. Now, if you don't have any specifics, that's fine too, but at least we know who's in charge of making the decisions. And usually have that conversation with those people beforehand. So they know, okay, when so-and-so passes, I'm going to be in charge of what needs to happen. So they can be thinking ahead of the game, okay? Next little panel talks about who's in control if you don't have this written. And that's just Texas law, right? So if you have somebody assigned, if you don't have somebody assigned, it's spouse. No spouse, then it's your children over the age of 18. If you don't have any children or if there's no surviving children, then it's your parents. If it's not your parents, then it goes next of kin down the line, okay? And that's just state law. Death certificates. That's a big question when people come in too. I need a death certificate and I need it now. First time they come in. Well, it's not that easy. We have to originate that. The state of Texas no longer does handwritten death certificates. Back in the old day, Mark will tell you that they had somebody that ran death certificates. That was their job. They type them up. Because it was, you know, a while back. They would have to type them up on a typewriter. Then they would drive it to the physician, the justice of the peace, the medical examiner, whoever it was. Then they'd have to fill out, either on typewriter or by hand, what that cause of death was, the onset interval to that death, and certify with a signature. That, to me, just blows my mind that someone had to do all of that on a typewriter and drive around. Because like you said, I mean, you may be dealing with a death in Houston. You may be dealing with a death in another state. I mean, it can be pretty logistically confusing. So, now everything's done online. Makes it easy. Everything is done online. There's no handwritten signatures anymore. State requires doctors have to be on this system. Medical examiners have to be on this system. Funeral homes have to be on this system. It syncs up with Social Security. That is another big question. Well, I need to notify them. Well, we notify them, but it is electronic. So you may want to follow up with a phone call. Make sure it was done as it's supposed to be done, and there's no benefits that you can claim that you're unaware of. All right. But the state charges for the death certificates. Okay, their charge is $21 for the first one and $4 for each additional after that. Families go, well, why do I need more than one? Well, bank accounts, credit card accounts, if you do have an estate that needs to go through probate, if you have investments, if you have annuities, if you have real property, home titles, vehicle titles, I mean, the list just keeps going. So unless you have it well set in a trust or through an executorship, you know, you have a lot of things you have to deal with. Again, you should have a Bible, right? I always tell families, have a Bible for death, okay? A place to go to that has everything in it. We run into all the time, oh, that's in mom and dad's safety deposit box. Okay, where's the bank? I don't know. Okay, well, you know where the bank is? Yes. Are you on the box? Can you get in? No. Okay, well, got to have a death certificate to get these things out. So little things like that, simple, logical things sometimes get missed. Or it's all in the safe in the closet. Well, what's the combination? I have no idea. All right? So know the passwords. Know the information. Have a place where they can go to. We talked about funeral costs. General price list. If you call a funeral home, they have to give you costs over the phone. Okay? They can't tell you, well, come on in and I'll tell you. No. They have to give you costs over the phone. There's actually an AMBIS report. I don't think it's called AMBIS anymore, though. There's a report online. There's a report online, I can find out before we leave, but it puts all funeral homes with these major price items in like a spreadsheet so you can see costs, which is a great resource. Central Texas Funeral Advocates or something of that nature.
Yeah, you can Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
Yeah, it's I put the link on the handout.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Great resource. Great resource. Quick way to look at and kind of see where you're wanting to go. Okay. Statement of goods and services. You should get a contract when you make an arrangement with a funeral home as to what you're buying, what you're paying for, what services you want. Embalming is not a requirement by law in the state of Texas, whether you're buried or cremated. A lot of people think that you have to be embalmed no matter what. Not true. Okay, you do not. However, as Mark said a little bit earlier, within 24 hours, you have to have either embalmed somebody in the state or placed them under refrigeration. We have our own refrigeration units at our funeral home. Typically, if you have an open casketed viewing, or if you transport out of state lines, you typically at that point have to do the embalming. Okay, so that talks about that. Green burials, caskets, and outer burial containers. That's the inside bottom right. Just talks about the ways the materials caskets are made of. Caskets and outer burial containers are not required by state law. However, there may be a cemetery or mausoleum restriction. Okay, so green burials, we have some information about Our Lady of the Rosary. They are a certified green burial cemetery. Okay, what that certification entails, I'm not sure. I know they have a section that is designated for green burials. No metal, no embalming chemicals, nothing. It is as green as it gets. Okay, a lot of times with families, they come in, they say, I want a green burial. And then I ask, well, what shade of green are you? Okay, because everybody's green burial definition is different. Oh, well, I don't want to be embalmed, but I want that 18-gauge metal locking casket. Well, that's not really green. You're putting a big piece of metal in the ground, right? Or I want a wooden casket, but I want to be embalmed. Well, again, that's not really a green burial. But in their mind, that's their version of green, okay? On the backside, talks about cremation. Again, we've talked about the 48-hour time frame we have to wait. Container, you have to have a container. The Funeral Service Commission calls it an alternative container. I call it a cremation casket because it makes sense. But it's just like a casket that basically contains the individual so we can get them into the crematory unit. So you definitely are going to have one of those if you go with cremation. Soliciting of funeral providers and advertising that you can read on your own. Prepaid funeral contracts gives you some good information about that. Essentially, you're locked into the cost. If you go prepay, there's payment plans that you can do. Locks you into your goods and services. So if it's 20 years from now that you pass away, you get the cost for what you paid the day you wrote the contract. Okay. Most of the time, they're either trust funded, depending upon the funeral home and how long they've been open, or they're through an insurance company. Okay. Benefit of prepaying is not only that you put your wishes down on paper, but it's also locked in and prepaid for. Okay. Now, what if you move? Prearrangements are transferable. Okay, they don't stay in one place. That was a consumer request of prepaid funerals. Unless it's trust funded, so you want to ask those questions. Okay, if you're trying to prepay with a funeral home, is it a trust funded or is it through insurance company? There's no additional fees for an insurance company funded contract. It's just because the society nowadays is mobile. Nobody is born, raised, lived, and dies in the same town anymore like it used to be in the older days. Okay? If you have complaints about your funeral provider, that's how you do it right there. This agency, the commission, they're the ones that can audit, they can investigate, they can suspend licenses, they can impose fines. They are the ones who keep us in line. Okay? So, that covers basic facts. You should get that from a funeral home or mortuary if you go visit them, along with the price list. They should give that to you immediately. It's kind of the first thing they have to give you. If you go in and say, I want a price list, by law, they're not supposed to ask you why you want a price list. They're supposed to give you a price list. Okay? Basic costs. We'll kind of cover basic costs from our funeral home just real quick and then go into the question and answers. Burial costs. You're looking at $5,000 to $7,000 depending on the casket you pick. Okay? And again, this is all line itemed out on a general price list. Other funeral homes, depends, right? You just got to do your homework. Cremation, direct cremation, some are $495 online, and then ours range from $1,000 to $3,000, depending on if you want a memorial service, depending upon if you want a visitation beforehand, do you want a private viewing with just family before the cremation, just all these different attributes and options that you have, but the range is about $1,000 to $3,000. Full service cremation, people say, what is that? Well, that's the same as a traditional burial. However, we don't go to a cemetery and bury the casket. We bring the casket and remains back to the funeral home if the service isn't there and process cremation. You have a rental casket. You have everything that you would normally see at a funeral. Okay? Those range from $5,000 to $7,000 as well. Because again, you're doing a full service, just not burying out at a cemetery. You do save yourself from cemetery costs, opening and closing of the graves, things of that nature. And then green burial, for us, again, it depends on what type of parcel or shroud or green burial casket you're going with, but it would range between $3,000 and $5,000 is kind of our range to give you some price points of where we stand. Other ones just depends. Okay? So that really is kind of a basic blanket information of funeral services. Now, yes?
So on this is not
That's correct. That is a cemetery in Georgetown. They have places for casketed burials, green burials. They have a scattering area. They have in-ground interments, which is just cremation urns that are buried into the ground. They have a prayer walk, like a trail down by a pond that cremains can go into. It's a very nice cemetery. It is open to all faiths. It is Our Lady of the Rosary Cemetery, but they are not a Catholic-only cemetery. Okay. Typically, funeral homes are separate from cemeteries. Some people think, well, if I want to use that cemetery, then I need to use this funeral home. Sometimes cemeteries and funeral homes are on the same property. You don't have to use that funeral home if you want to be buried in that cemetery. You can use any funeral home you wish. Do burials anywhere you wish. We've done burials in New Mexico. We've done burials in, you went to Illinois twice. You know, so we go wherever it is a family wants us to go.
Green burials. I know Jill selected one.
Yes, sir.
We've selected one. Mm-hmm. How many in the state of Texas are there? Do you know?
Green burial cemeteries?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if they won't allow you to do a green burial. Now, I know the only one I know of locally is Our Lady of the Rosary. That is a certified green burial cemetery. However, as Mark mentioned, you know, green burial is not really anything new. I know if they do offer green burials, it will be in a certain section. But
a lot of cemeteries will not allow you to do a green burial. So you have to, you kind of have to, it's not a state law or anything, it's a cemetery.
Yeah, we're not trying to promote one.
Sure.
Right.
Jill, what was the name of
Eloise? Eloise Woods. Mm-hmm. They're predominantly all green burial.
That's all
they do there. Beautiful, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And outer burial containers, you know, caskets. Well, is that all I need, or do I need something that goes in the ground that the casket goes into? Again, that's not a state law. That is a cemetery rule. So certain cemeteries say not only do you have to have a casket from the funeral home, but when you get here, you have to have a grave liner, or you have to have a vault that that casket goes into. And that is their rules, not the funeral homes. So you want to do that homework, too, with your final place of rest. Yes, sir.
Why would they have a casket and a liner? What are they trying to protect against?
Yeah, so a liner, the liner is rebar. It's concrete reinforced with rebar. Okay, the purpose of a grave liner or an outer burial container, that's what the industry calls it, or an OBC, is to protect the earth around the casket. Okay, so the casket goes into that base, the lid is placed on top. And again, that is to support the earth around the casket. That keeps them from having to maintain a lot of the space with refilling dirt, or if they're maintaining it with mowers and machinery, you know, over time that can wear down the earth. A vault does the same thing as a outer burial container, the liner. However, it has a sealing feature. So not only is it reinforced with rebar and concrete, but it has a base and a lid that when they come together, there's a chemical reaction, an epoxy type seal, where you're not getting it open without a jackhammer, right? I mean, you have to want to get it open. That supports the earth around the casket and also protects from outside elements getting to where the casket is. Again, that is an individual's personal feel on how they want that. Some of the psychological reasoning behind people, what they want, you know, to me doesn't make sense, but that doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. You know, we can tell you stories of claustrophobia. I don't want to be in a casket and in a vault. And then they pick out a little urn, you know, and you're like, okay. Or, you know, I don't want to deal with the heat in the Texas summers. So they choose cremation, you know, and it's just, it doesn't make sense to me, but it makes sense to those individuals. So, of course, we're upfront about the way we approach. If a cemetery requires a liner or an outer burial container, we let them know. But we go through it extensively so they understand what they're buying. We want people to know, hey, you're getting an 18 gauge sealing casket and you're also buying a sealing vault. That's two of the same thing. You know, are you sure that's what you're wanting? Well, yes, I really like the way this one's made or the way this one. Okay, as long as you understand that you're buying two of the same thing, that's your prerogative. But we do make sure that they are getting and knowing what they're getting and the reason why. Yes, sir.
With 15 minutes up there.
Yeah.
Would you just go through traditional burial, grain burial, and cremation?
Sure.
And I know there are variables and different circumstances and all that, but typically, what are the events that take place from the point of death until the grave?
Sure.
Just the big chunk.
Sure. I know traditional.
Somebody dies, next thing I do is call.
Right. Whether traditional, right, right, traditional, green, or cremation, if it's an unattended death, that is it's a whole different ball game because there's usually a judge involved, there's maybe an investigation. Right, let's say we're an attended death, maybe in a hospital or at a rest home, care facility, something like that. They're going to ask you first off, who do we call if something happens? And then you need to tell them. You need to call Ramsey or whoever it is. They'll make that phone call to us. Okay, at the time of death, when you're ready to release that individual into our care. All right, so that's the same across the board, whether you're buried, cremated, doesn't matter. We will come bring that individual into our care, and we will ask the family typically at that point, if we don't already know based on pre-plans, what direction are we going? What do you need from us? Is this burial? Is it green burial? Is it cremation? Because that's going to tell us, do we need to embalm? Do we need to use refrigeration? How long of a waiting period are we going to have? It kind of helps us set the tone for what we're going to do. After that, you have an arrangement conference. Usually it's that next day or when family can get together. If it's cremation and we know that up front, we know we can't do anything for 2 days. So we're not really in a rush. You can come next day or the day after that. We would go through basically the arrangement conference. You know, do you have property? Where's the burial space going to be if you're buried? Cremation, what's the conclusion of the cremation? Are you going to take the cremains with you? Are you going to scatter them? Do you have a grave you want to bury them in? Are you going to keep them at home? You know, things like that. And then you go through your line items, basic services. You know, you have visitation, whether that's going to be traditional with a casket, open casket viewing. Is that going to be the night before the day of the service? You have green burials, option for private family viewings. Okay. You have home burials where that can be done as well at the house. We've done home services before, just taking the individual to their home instead of having it at the funeral home. Where's the funeral service going to be if you want one? Is it going to be at the church? Is it going to be at the funeral home? Is it just a graveside? And so those are the decisions you kind of have to make. Green burials typically are done, at least in the past for us, before the family gets there or witnessed by a few family members, depending upon what type of precautions are done before the burial. So that just depends on the circumstances around the death, you know, what happened, if they were under care, if this was a sudden death, things like that. Does that cover the question you're kind of asking? Okay.
So my understanding is that from the time of death to, I'll say, when you can actually plan for a funeral, plan for the burial, cremation can take up to 2 weeks.
No.
Waiting for, especially if the body has to be shipped, to be cremated and then shipped back.
Yeah.
If it is in a different part of Texas.
Yeah, depending on cost, that would all be questions we would go through at the time, depending upon the death. If it's a local death, you know, Williamson County goes by the state law of 48 hours, and they release a permit. Travis County says you have to wait till the doctor signs the death certificate before you can cremate.
Okay, say that again.
Williamson County, the state of Texas, 48 hours. You have to wait before you can process a cremation. Now, if a funeral home has their own crematory like we do on site, if we have all our authorizations and we get the permit from the county, we're moving forward. We'll have the cremation done the third or fourth day. Now, Travis County is a little different. They say you have to have a doctor sign the death certificate first because their county clerks will not release a burial transit. Can be a little bit different. But the state law, which goes over any county law, says 48 hours. But you can't get a permit unless...
And so that was the 2 days you were talking about.
Right, 48 hours you have to wait for cremation. And that's in case there's any type of investigation or medical inquest, or family says, you know, it's just not adding up. We want to know what happened. We want to call for our own private family autopsy. Because, you know, once cremation starts, you know, that's it. Any burial, you can disinter and still do an autopsy later. But that's why there's that waiting period.
And so what would be the timeline for a green burial or for a regular burial?
Yeah, green burial, we typically like to do them as quick as we can. Okay, because there's no embalming. The body is naturally going to do what the body is going to do. Now, refrigeration does kind of slow down that process. That's the point of the refrigeration time, but it does not stop it. Okay.
Is that like 24 hours or 48 hours?
You know, 2-3 days. Well, yeah, 2-3 days at most.
We, as a funeral home, within 12 hours, we either have to refrigerate or we have to embalm after 12 hours. And you, as a family, your next of kin, you have to give us that direction. Well, I don't know. It comes to 12 hours. Well, I don't know if I want him in. We have to get the body into refrigeration. 2 days later, you say, oh, I want him embalmed. We can still embalm at the end of that time. Now, a week later, probably not. You know, you just start getting into a natural breakdown of the body, even under refrigeration. So a lot of things play into that.
Can I ask two questions related to that? One, if you're refrigerating, what's the temperature? If you're embalming, what's the substance?
You have to keep your refrigeration unit at 42 degrees. Okay. Just above freezing.
And
in embalming, state law does not require that the body is embalmed. But at the end of 12 hours, you're going to need to tell me, do we need to embalm or we need to refrigerate?
No, well, what substance do you use?
It's formaldehyde.
And then one other question.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you freeze?
Why don't we freeze?
Yeah, why not below 32?
Because it deters the circulatory system of the body. You get it under freezing. That freezing temperature, it damages the circulatory system. So if you come back after that and go, hey, I want to embalm. Well, they've been under freezing temperature. You wouldn't be able to do that.
I see.
Any other questions? This is just time for you to throw it at us. We've heard it all.
You said a traditional burial was like 5,000 to 8,000?
5 to 7, depending on casket. That's just funeral home costs.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. There's cemetery costs
mm-hmm.
on top of that.
Correct. That's completely separate from us based on the cemetery you select.
So, do you have any kind of... I have no clue.
I'll give you an idea. There's a few cemeteries in Georgetown. You know, you're looking at $1,500 for a space or two. You have some in Pflugerville, Round Rock. You're looking at $3,500 starting point. Opening, closing of the grave. That's a third-party fee. Around Georgetown, if it's not a corporate-owned cemetery, about $800. That's the tent, the chairs, the lowering device, everything. Artificial grass, everything you see at a cemetery. Round Rock, Pflugerville, you're looking at $1,700 for that same thing. So it really depends on the location, who's owning these properties, who runs the funeral home, things like that. So do your homework. Education is key in this business and industry. Get you, and then we'll come to you. Yes, ma'am.
So we have cemetery plots mm-hmm. in a different state.
Sure.
So if I died here, mm-hmm. I would be involved mm-hmm. here, like through your group.
Mm-hmm.
And then who
y'all? Yep, we do forwarding of remains and receiving of remains are two of the things you have to have on a price list. So we have a base price for that service. That's picking the individual up, that's doing the preparation work, which is the embalming. Now it's up to the family if they want the body casketed and dressed and everything before they put that individual on an airplane or before that person is driven to their location. We recommend that so that the family can see how that person looked before they left our place so that they know what to expect on the other end, okay? We actually have a family coming in tomorrow, passed away here in Georgetown, or they're in Georgetown and is going to Missouri. And it's their pre-funded funeral in Missouri, but she didn't take care of the cost if she moved. So these fees are going to be whatever they want us to do on this end to get her up there to Missouri, whether we drive or fly.
I had one other question.
Mm-hmm.
The cemetery you said was separate from the funeral
mm-hmm.
home. This is an odd question, but let's say the funeral home goes out of business uh-huh. or the cemetery, it just goes bankrupt. Who knows?
Right.
And you paid
Yeah, the cemetery is going to be through the state of Texas. That's deeds through the county. That's all going to be logged and okay.
It's
funeral homes.
By the Department of Bank.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Even cemeteries.
So nothing like that has ever happened.
Right. Now, funeral homes, this is a little different. If we're family-owned and operated, if you do a pre-arrangement through us, we don't use a trust fund account. We use an insurance company because in our little area, we have a big demographic of retirees not from Central Texas that move in and move out all the time. So they'll write with us, then they'll move somewhere else. They simply transfer to the funeral home they want to use at their new home. Or they've paid for it somewhere else, they're transferring it to us. Simple form. Now, if we go out of business and they've pre-planned with us, they have the option at that point to either cash out basically and start over or transfer it to the new owners or to another funeral home locally. That's why the insurance company was involved and asked for by consumers. Because if you had a trust account, I'd say have fun where you're going. When you pass away, call me and I'll send you 60% of what you paid me because, you know, all these years, I have all these fees and I got to maintain this stuff. Insurance funded, all of it goes with you. And that's a benefit of a consumer that's mobile. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm doing the math in my head.
Okay.
So to die, it will cost you about $10,000 to $12,000.
Depending on what route you go, yeah.
Not if you go green.
Yeah, not if you go green. Yeah, that's right.
$3,000.
Yep, our range is 3 to 5 with green.
You're dead, and you still cost them money.
Oh, yeah. I know. You know, I was thinking about this. Say I was in the to-go line actually getting food, and I have a four-month-old. I have a four-year-old, two-year-old, and a four-month-old. And I was thinking, man, that bill is insane because I finally got all the fees in from the birth of my kid. And then I'm like, well, my gosh, you know, even dying is the same thing. You know, it's like, wow, that's
And you know, with that being said, you don't have to use funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it yourself.
I was going to ask about that, but I was going to ask, what is the no putting no problem on your family to pay for your death?
Mm-hmm.
What's the easiest thing to...
Direct cremation.
Direct cremation.
That's going to be your least expensive route. If you're wanting what you want for your family and you don't want the burden of cost on them, you can prepay. Now, I should have probably been putting money in an account for the birth of my three kids, right? But I didn't. With this, you can buy it, locks you in. So if I had last year, the first time I had a prearranged funeral, the discount that I gave to them based on when they prepaid it in the late 80s was more than the cost she paid originally. So we discounted, I was almost $5,000. That's today's rates from what she paid, which was a little under $5,000. I thought, wow, that was a good investment, right? You're not going to get that kind of growth off of a savings account, probably, you know.
How much would a cremation burial?
Cremation burial cost? Depends on if you have the property, where you have the property. But a direct cremation, you know, for us is $995. That includes basic service, the transportation, the refrigeration time, the cremation itself. You pick an urn. We have a $35. The industry calls it temporary. I call it multi-purpose. Again, play on words from the industry. It can be suitable for burial, putting in a niche, putting on your mantle. It's black temporary plastic, but it'll do the job, right? And then your cost of death certificates. That's all you have to have from a funeral home. Then if you want to do a service at a park, or if you want to have a family get-together somewhere to celebrate your life. But then the burial side depends on who you pick for property and what, how much do they charge to open the grave. Is it in a niche? You know, those costs are...
My wife, I got to double that.
Right. There you go. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, if you want to be buried, picking out the burial plots is hugely helpful, but that's not prepaying. I just found that out. My parents kept telling us they prepaid everything. They were prepaying burial plots.
Yeah, and there are cemeteries that will allow you to do a prepaid burial plot. They do it the same way, kind of through a trust funded amount, though. So they lock the costs into your. Now they don't lock in the opening and closing because that could fluctuate. But if you buy the property way back when,
we knew where it was, and that was huge for us.
There you go.
Know where they wanted to go.
Yeah, make sure those documents are readily accessible. The deed that is registered with the county, so they know this space, this location, that is mine. Yes, ma'am.
When my dad passed away in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
it was illegal to scatter ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
Still the same?
Both of my parents' ashes in Colorado.
Here you go. Don't ask, don't tell.
Further request.
Don't ask, don't tell.
And actually, one of them was done by the funeral home.
People are asking us all the time, what can I do with cremains? I want my husband scattered in Lake Georgetown. Well, you go to the powers to be at Lake Georgetown, they're going to tell you,
no,
no way. Just go fishing. Don't have a picnic. Because there's nothing biohazard.
About cremated remains, yeah. And it tells you in the here, cremated remains.
They're going to tell you, heck no. Now you golf can- courses. You can't believe how many people are on golf courses. But if you go to that country club or wherever it is, I don't want to scare my husband on hole number 9. They're going to say, hey,
no. Yeah.
Just go play around and go.
Yeah, well, it's, my parents are done now. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hijack.
No, it's fine.
No, and it you can scatter on private property. Mm-hmm. If it's your property, you can scatter on your property. You can inter it in a cemetery. You can put it in an intra columbarium. Family can keep it till they decide what they want to do. You can also scatter upon public lands and waterways. But again, if you ask for the permission to do it, they're going to probably tell you no because people get weirded out about human remains. But cremated human remains, like you said, there's nothing biohazardous about it at all. If anything, it helps things grow.
Right.
Whether it be trees, there's marine life. People can put cremains into like coral reefs, have those planted or drop down in the ocean. I mean, if it's legal and you can do it, there's someone that'll offer it.
A lot of people ask, do you have to bury cremains in a cemetery? Casket remains in a cemetery. Well, kind of yes, you do. Can I bury them on my private property? Well, yes, you can. But first of all, you have to have at least one acre designated as cemetery property. And it can only be for family use only. It cannot be outside that family. Well, what are you going to do 10 years, 20 years later? You get ready to sell that property. I've got a cemetery on my property. Man, people are going to run like a Yeah. So those are things to think about.
When we were, just briefly, so we were kind of on a genealogy trip, and there's this, I mean, I didn't realize it was like family cemeteries that, completely different things. So there's this kind of family cemetery.
It's totally
and it was like
different.
Just fenced in.
Mm-hmm. On this piece of property.
Fence to keep, because it's like in the middle of a where cows graze.
Yeah. Get them out of the way.
Whatever, but it was just, and they paid a guy, there was two of these such things maybe within a few miles of each other, and they paid a guy $50 a month to just keep the lawn.
Yeah, maintain it. Yeah.
I just want to point out that it's 11.
Yes, it is 11 if you need to go. But again, we appreciate y'all having us here and being able to visit with you.